Parshas Noach is obviously a story that's very familiar to us, and that was even before the movie. The Torah describes that Noach was an Ishtadik, Tamim Haya, L'dorosav. It's a very interesting word, L'dorosav. Doro, L'chora, should be the right terminology. The word is written in the plural. So it's true, Noach lived for a very long time. Today, if someone would live as long as Noach lived, you would say that he lived for many, many generations. But back in those days, that pretty much was a generation. You know, that's how long people lived. Why would we call it Dorosav in the plural, as if it were many generations? There's nothing unusual about his lifespan beyond the lifespan of regular people, it seems, in that day and age. That is question number one. Question number two. The Gemara in Avodah Zarah tells us that when the Torah refers to him as a tzaddik and a tamim, those mean two different things. Tzaddik b'ma'asav, the Gemara says. Tamim b'drachav. Noach was perfect in his deeds, b'ma'asav. He didn't do anything wrong. He was a tzaddik b'ma'asav. No corruption, no crime. He kept his nose clean from all the bad things that people sometimes tend to do. And specifically, Rashi says, what does it mean b'ma'asav? Below chamas. He was not involved in stealing. He was not involved in financial dishonesty. He was scrupulously honest in all of his monetary dealings. But not only that, he was also tamim b'ma'asav, tamim b'drachav rather. And Rashi says, what does that mean? Rashi explains, perfect in his midos, that he was anov ushfal ruach. He was exceedingly humble. So what were his great qualities? Number one, he did nothing wrong in terms of honesty. Number two, he was, as far as who he was, what kind of personality he was exceedingly humble. Now, it's somewhat difficult to understand why both of those characteristics were necessary to be saved from the mabul. You know, certainly tzaddik b'ma'asav, that part helps to explain what distinguished him from the rest of his generation. To say that he was scrupulously honest was very important. Why was that very important? Because the rest of his generation, what were they doing? Chamas. They were stealing. The whole thing was about dishonesty. So good. So Noach's honesty is going to distinguish him. But do we find anywhere that the Dor HaMabul were Balei Gaiva? That the Dor HaMabul had this problem with anivus? That this is going to be the midah? Anav ushval ruach is going to be what really separates Noach? Why the emphasis on that? And then a third question. Chazal take Noach to task for the post-Mabul problem. He was described as an ish ha'adama after the Mabul. Now, that description alone is what tipped Chazal off to a lot more, and they found that to be very, very bad, that Noach was an ish ha'adama. The words itself, pshuto shel mikra, what's so terrible? He changed professions. He used to be a carpenter. He knew how to build really big boats. And now he became a farmer. Like most Jews throughout, you know, the history of the land of Israel were farmers because it's an agricultural society. What's so terrible about that? So I heard last year from Rabbi Bamberger, from the Mashkiach, many of the following ideas. There are many achronim, Mesh Chachma, the Meryl Diskin, that say that the idea of Bidorosav in his generations is not just a reference to his lifespan, that he lived a long time. No, it refers to two specific generations that Noah lived through. He lived through the generation of the Dor HaMabul, that's the generation of the Mabul, that's repetitive, generation of the Dor HaMabul, and the generation of the Dor HaFlaga. He lived through both of those generations. So essentially, you have to keep in mind, what made Noach special was that twice in his life, the entire world was focused on doing one thing, and he had the confidence and the fortitude to go against the entire world, to do differently than everybody else. In fact, in the very first sif in Shulchan Aruch, the Rama writes, "V'lo yisbayesh mipnei b'nei adam hamal igmalav." The job of a Jew is to do what is right, even if people will make fun of you. Don't be embarrassed when people make fun of you. Ba'avodas Hashem yisbarach. When you're serving Hashem, if they think that it's funny to shuffle when you daven, that it's or something like that, you don't pay any attention. Never be embarrassed about our avodas Hashem. We do what Hashem wants, regardless of what others think about it. So the generation of the Mabul was Malei Chamas. They were the exact opposite of tzaddikim b'maaseihem. They were not at all tzaddikim b'maaseihem. How does Noach remain special in that generation? Tzaddik b'maasav. He kept clean of all the same kinds of sins that the other people were doing. And that explains why when Hashem tells Noah that he's going to be saved in the Dor HaMabul, he only mentions one of these qualities. He doesn't mention Tzadik and Tamim. Vayomer Hashem l'Noach, bo ata v'chol beischa l'ateva, ki oscha re'isi tzadik lefanai b'dor hazeh. So Rashi quotes Chazal that mitzah shvacha b'fanav, you don't mention both Tzadik and Tamim, you only mention Tzadik. Pshuto shel mikra. It could be that he's mentioned as tzaddik and not tzaddik and tamim, because to be saved from the mabul, all you really need is tzaddik. You don't need both tzaddik and tamim. It's interesting that all we are told about Noah before we are told that the world was full of chamas was that he had three children. And maybe that was his trick to protect himself from falling to the temptation of corruption. It was the desire to be a role model for his children. And you keep in mind what you want your children to be like, what you want your children to see in you, and that what you want them to emulate, that's a very powerful force sometimes in a person's life to get themselves straightened out. You know, you have guys that, I remember, guys who, when they were in yeshiva, didn't show up to a minyan. They couldn't wake up for a seder. But now they have children, and they want their children to look up to them. They want their children to have share their best qualities. So some of them still can't wake up for a minyan, and their children are following suit. And some of them can't wake up for a minyan, and their children are not following suit, and the children just think that the parents are nobodies. But some of them manage to turn it around, because they managed to realize that, look, this is what my kids are going to look up to. That's all we're told about Noach. He had kids. And because he had kids, he was a tzaddik b'masav. But then you have the generation of Migdal Bava. And they were very nice to each other. They cooperated very nicely with each other. They didn't steal, as far as we know. We're not told of any stealing. Their problem was an unbelievable level of gaiva, a national gaiva. You hear the story when you're a child, right? They're going to build a tower, and what are they going to do with the tower? And what's the story? They're going to wage milchama on Hashem. Like, you ever stop and think, like, what? Like, what's the game plan? Okay, so they build it really high. Let's say they get up there and they manage to breathe or whatever. What are they going to do? Throw sword? Like, what's the plan exactly? They're gonna make a milchama on Hashem. It's an unbelievable level of gaiva. It defies all logic. So they build a tower and a city to show that they are in control and God is not in control. And that's what Muhammad of God really means. It's not that they were going to fight. They weren't planning on throwing spears and shooting arrows at the sky. They were planning on demonstrating that they are independent, that they don't need God. It's the height of gaiva to sort of write off HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So in order to survive that generation, what distinguishes Noach? Tamim b'drachav. He was an anav, shval ruach. And can you imagine at that stage in his life how difficult it must be to be an anav? You know, imagine, the whole world exists. God says they all deserve to die, except for you and your family. You are literally chosen by God to survive the destruction of all of humanity. God says all of humanity that's going to exist forever is going to come from you, because I chose you. And then he's still humble. He's still an anav u'shval ruach. It's a mind-boggling level of anivus. You know, anivus is only impressive if you have what to be a balgaiva about. You know, anivus is not impressive if you're nobody. It's a mind-boggling level of anivus. That's why we find who are the greatest and the most humble people, the ones who we celebrate their humility more than anybody else in Judaism, is Moshe Rabbeinu, Rabbi Yehuda Anasi. Why? There were no other humble people? No, but these were the greatest. These were the people that gave us Torah Shemachsav, Torah Shemalpeh. And they were still so humble. That's the Maila, that's the whole kunz. How does he manage not to be a Balgaivas beyond our comprehension? And the answer may be that he chose a profession that by definition relies on God. The carpenter maybe doesn't rely on God as much. He relies on his own skill and builds whatever he builds. The farmer is dependent on God to cooperate. You can do everything right. and it doesn't rain that season, you're done. Okay, so no, we're going to develop, the irrigation specialists like they have in Israel, that now Israel, to the great credit of the Jewish people, now export water because they have filtration systems and whatever. Yeah, okay, and if the wind blows in a certain way, where some dirt blows onto your crops at just the wrong time, everything's gone. Being a farmer means relying on a Kodesh Baruch Hu, and that's how Noach fought it. Last year when the Mashkiach was talking about this, he was talking last year, what was everyone talking about this time last year, Parashas Noach last year? The only topic of conversation around any Shabbos table, around secular world, Jewish world, everywhere, the only, worldwide, was the election. And he pointed out that, the people we choose to represent us reveal a lot about who we are as a people. If a major candidate of who we might have chosen to elect us is the opposite of a tzaddik b'ma'asav, someone who perhaps allowed corruption to seep in, then the entire society shares in that corruption. If the candidate, or in this case, president of a country, of a society, is the exact opposite of an anav ushval ruach, the exact opposite of an anav ushval ruach, someone who doesn't understand humility. So it's someone who literally builds a tower to put his name on it. I mean, you can't. It's like the metaphor. It's not a metaphor. It's right there. The exact opposite of anivus ushval ruach. My favorite time during the whole election season was when they asked Donald Trump about how come he's not humble. And he says, I am extremely humble. You'd be shocked at how humble I am. And the taka, we would be shocked at how humble. But that reflects not on a person, it reflects on a society. It reflects on a society as a whole. Rabbi Bamberger said last year, he mentioned the quote that someone said, that they had a nightmare that somebody won the election, whichever way. Rav Schwab, in 1992, when he was discussing whether to vote for George Bush, who was having a complicated relationship with Medina Yisrael at the time, it's long forgotten in most people's minds, or Bill Clinton, who was, his philandering ways were already known, although the extent to which he acted in that way was not yet known. Rav Schwab said, our immediate responsibility as Torah Jews is to see that the world's moral climate be maintained. It's hard to imagine what Rav Schwab would say today. Each person builds his own tower and says that there's no God and whose name is Samachaya. We live in a culture where cheating, stealing are the norm. They're not the exception anymore. We live in a society where it's all about self-promotion. It's all about me. Social media is built on the notion of self-promotion, of being able to constantly let everybody know what you're doing at every moment. Everyone can see exactly how happy your family is and their family isn't. And, all of your every exploit has to be publicized. That's the society we live in. And our job is to be a Noach. It's to be a tzaddik b'ma'asav v'tamim b'drachav. We have to make sure that we become a Noach. So we daven that there will be a time where we will be able to live in a culture that promotes all of our values. When we're returned to Eretz Yisrael with the Beis HaMikdash, when we return to Eretz Yisrael, and therefore bring about, by changing the culture, by bringing about improvements in the culture, to bring about the Beis HaMikdash. And that will then be the focal point of our existence. They tell you in rabbi school that you're never supposed to conclude a Dvar Torah with Ad Bias Gol Tzedek, but it just seems appropriate in this one that we should Bizoch B'Meher V'Yameinu to Gol Tzedek B'Karol B'Meher V'Yameinu.